Hello, this is Mellow Max, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, and I am joined by Emmy McSwain. How's it going, Emmy?
It's going awesome.
Very good. And how was your day today?
My day was great. I worked this morning from 6 to 2, went home, took a nap, and here I am.
Nice. It's an early morning. But now we're here. Mm-hmm. It's going to be not so late of a night for you. But you've got the PSA binder in front of you. Do you want to get that out of the way?
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay, so this is a fresh fruit PSA. If you're looking for some sweet, great tasting snacks that are also healthy for you, try eating fresh fruit. A is for apricot, B is for black cherries, C is for cantaloupe. These days, many grocery stores have more kinds of fresh fruit than there are letters in the alphabet. The edible skin of fresh fruits like apples can be a terrific source of healthy, cancer-fighting dietary fiber, while others, like bananas, come in convenient, ready-to-peel, natural packages so you don't even need to wash your hands to eat them. Plus, their wrapping is completely compostable. So, if you're looking for a sweet, tasty, and healthy treat, remember eating pretty much any kind of fruit is going to be better for you than candy or a processed snack.
Woo! Excellent work. You know how to read. We have proved it here.
Thank you.
If there's any confusion, if anyone was wondering. I wasn't concerned. We've been emailing, so yeah. I had a feeling.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I passed.
Yes. Good work. why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who are you? Why are you here?
Cool. My name's Emmy McSwain. I am a musician and a songwriter, and I'm also a content creator in Boston. So I was an RA at Berklee College of Music, and when I graduated, I had all this knowledge that I had gathered from being an RA and like getting to know the city, and I just decided to put it online because I missed my freshman and I missed being able to tell people to be excited about the city. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool, bringing that same energy. Did you ever think about being a tour guide when you were in college?
Not actually when I was in college, but I have been on some food tours as a content creator. I've been invited to do some things in Boston, and there were talks of like, Emmy, you should be one of our tour guides. And that's really exciting, but I had to pass for the moment. But yeah, I really love the city. I've always actually wanted and been curious to know the process of the duck boat tours, because that's like the one tourist thing that I absolutely love to do. When I was an RA, they had like free duck boat tours for students, and they needed like an RA to accompany the freshmen. And I was always like, I would call out of work in order to make sure that I could go on the duck boat. So I would love to maybe like do a one-off, like talk about Boston on a duck boat tour. But I think that's probably the extent of my tour guide in-person knowledge.
Well, if anyone listening can make that happen.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. I know that there's a DJ here who does like sound for one of the harbor cruises.
Oh, that's awesome.
Party boat things. It's close, but not the same.
Hey, definitely I'm down to party.
Yeah, hey, why not? How'd you get into music? Was there a specific moment that sort of made it click?
Yeah, I was a military kid, so I was moving around a lot, and music was one of the fastest ways that I learned early on how to make friends, because it's a universal language. You know, when you're new in a class of people who've grown up together in second grade and you don't know anybody, if you join the choir or something, it's a really quick way to make friends. So I've been playing music ever since I can remember. And I never really admitted that I wanted to be a musician. I remember in fifth grade, our teacher like had us do this assignment. We're like, where do we see ourselves in like 20 years? And I was so jealous of this girl in fifth grade. She wanted to be a singer. And I was like, well, why does she get to want to be a singer? And so I feel like that is a core memory of mine. Like, why does she get to want to be a singer? And I only really realized in college, as I was pursuing music, that I my dreams like can be whatever I want. As long as I can like envision the way to get there, it's not an unreasonable goal to have. And I really still in high school, even I was like, I want to be an engineer. I wanted to be a mechanical engineer.
Oh, yeah.
I really loved math, and we had a drafting program in my high school, and I was really like, I love that. And only when I got into Berkeley did I like let myself think about being a musician seriously. And yeah, I have a songwriting degree. I graduated in 2022, and I'm really glad that I came over to the music side.
Yeah. Engineering's fine. It's no music, though.
There's a lot of math in music.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, realistic creative thinking that I feel like is applicable in music. Like, obviously, there's a creative side, like writing a song. But then you have to, like, figure out how to package it and deliver it and the technicality of everything that I still feel like I'm scratching that itch to be an engineer with this.
Yeah. And like a lot of engineering is thinking about a full system.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, you know, you really have a good approach to music and your making of music and your content creation. And I just want to say, I am so impressed at the rate at which you put out content. You are consistent and it's awesome. Where do you go to get inspiration?
I honestly,
other than the laundromat.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because I've lived in the city, like I've lived in Boston since 2018. And when I was in high school, the second I was allowed to do things by myself, I would be in Boston. I'd like take the bus in, take the train in, and then go to shows as soon as I could. But inspiration honestly happens when I'm on the clock at the grocery store, because it is such a job where you don't really have to think that much. For like 8 hours a day, I get to brainstorm like ideas, like what I want to do. And it really also started as a way to get myself out of the house, because Boston winters can be brutal. And I started posting last year because I was like, I need to make sure that I'm not just like rotting away in winter. So it started as a way to like get out, experience people. I always like, anytime I'm down, if I can just go out in public and have a conversation with a stranger, or like exchange a smile, or like laugh at something silly with a stranger, it makes me feel so much better. And so that's kind of like, I just go out and find things. I also really like going for walks in the city, and that's how I feel like I've come across some of my favorite parts of Boston, just like accidentally.
If you don't want to gatekeep, which is okay, are there
no gatekeeping here?
Okay, well then, what little nooks and places in the city have you found?
I really like exploring the South End. I work at a grocery store in Back Bay, and so after my shift, I really just like to walk around. There's Formaggio's Kitchen is like a really fancy grocery store, and so I don't even really buy things there, but I like to go in and I like to see the packaging. I just honestly, like, I really love working at a grocery store. I love colorful packaging. Like, I love the idea of merchandising and like learning about like where things come from. And it's also interesting to know what grocery stores carry and like why it's different. So I really love Formaggio's. There's one in Somerville. Or Cambridge, it's you know, right on the line.
Yeah.
But that's a really big one, and I love cheese. So they're, like, known for their cheese. They have a huge cheese counter. So that's, like, an insider, like, fancy pants if you're, like, a grocery store nerd like I am. That's a cool place to go. And also Wally's. I actually haven't covered Wally's on my Instagram yet, but that's, like, on my to-do list. It's a jazz bar that is, like, jazz all the time, and there's like local artists. It's just down the street from Berkeley, so they have like a lot of students sit in, and you're not going to see usually like a bill for it, but you can just go in and expect that there's going to be music all the time. So Wally's on Mass Ave is like a hidden gem in the city.
Cool. I'm sure that I've gone by it so many times.
It's pretty unassuming, like, yeah. There's no sign outside, and it's just because it's been here so long that like the people who want to go know about it.
Yeah. Sweet. I will have to add that to my list. And on that note, would you like to play us some music?
Yeah. This song is not going to be a single, but it's part of the reason why my album's going to be named the way it is. It's called Happy. And I wrote this song in high school. This is the oldest song that's going to be on the record. When I was a senior, we got to like be a part of this like open-ended class. And it was just kind of like make a project, commit to it. And so I made this like, I'm going to write three songs. I'm going to make art associated with all three of these songs. And this song was good enough for me to keep wanting to play it. It's like obviously changed a little bit over the years, but it's one of those songs that like can grow up with me. Like I'll remove a verse, add a verse. So it's called Happy. Cool. Okay. My wallet is empty. I have a jobless degree. Wars rage on in our broke democracy. It's snowing in April and inexplicably I'm pretty happy. All of my friends are suicidal or fake. That's all I really wanted to say. Still for some reason and irresponsibly I'm pretty happy. I've only dated people who aren't really that great, but I guess that's on me. There's just something about those guitars at Berkeley. But hey, that's okay, 'cause if I die alone, I know I'll still be happy. It's been over 4 years since I've talked to my dad. That's life, I guess. It's his fault it's like that. 'Cause although I've listened, he won't apologize. But hey, without him, I'm doing just fine. In fact, I'm pretty happy.
Very much. That was lovely. And so you teased it earlier, but how does that play into the name of your upcoming album?
So the Lily Pad is one of my favorite venues in Boston. It's a pay-to-play venue, so the artist like rents this space and then you just hope that you sell enough tickets to make the money back and then some. And I had booked a show there in, like, 2023. I had, like, an EP coming out. I booked a show, and it was, like, one of my first shows ever. And so I was really nervous about the room being empty. So I invited my dad, who I'm not really that close to the show. I was like, okay, worst case, he doesn't come, which actually isn't really that bad. But best case, I sell two more tickets. And then the room's a little bit fuller. And he actually did end up coming, and I played this song. And in the line about the dad, it's been over 4 years since I've talked to my dad. There's like a comedic drum fill, like da-dun-tsh. And so one of my friends was in the back, and like they knew that that was my dad that they were standing next to. And so when that happened, my dad just turned to his wife and said, well, how about them apples? And so the record's going to be called Them Apples.
That's awesome. Yeah. What a good story. Wow. How about them apples? Wow. Oh, it's so good that your friend was there to catch that.
I know. Yeah, I'm so, and he was like so excited to tell me after the show. He's like, Emmy. Because like my friends know this song, so they knew it was coming. So they were all like, what's he gonna do? So yeah, I'm actually really glad that that happened. And I also think like working at a grocery store, I literally wrote half these songs while stacking apples. So I feel like it really ties it all together.
What's your favorite and least favorite kind of apple? In terms of eating and stacking.
I think I'm like an OG Honeycrisp girl, even though in my fridge I only have green apples. I feel like green apples you can eat cold or warm, and a Honeycrisp I like it to be crisp and cold. So I think green apples are more diverse, and I can throw that in my bag. Least favorite, I think I'm going to have to go with a Fuji, because it's just like not as crisp or crunchy. It's like a soft apple, which I feel like is better for baking, but I would never buy one to eat.
Yeah, if you want something softer, you should just end up going with a pear.
Yeah. Or literally anything else.
Any other fruit. Apples, yeah, maybe not a soft apple. Yeah. Speaking of the Honeycrisp, have you had the Cosmic Crisp?
Okay, I am a fan of the Cosmic.
Yeah, it's pretty
good.
I feel
like that's less mainstream.
But you have to know your apples.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's actually one that we just got in at my grocery store, and it's a lemonade apple.
Whoa.
And so luckily, like, obviously I know, like, I have a lot of experience with apples. And so it's really cool to see, like, we have one that's pink on the inside, and that's, like, earlier in the winter. But this lemonade apple, it looks like a lemon. So I actually haven't tried it yet, so I don't know why I'm advertising something I haven't tried. But I was looking on the shelf today, and I was like, why do we have lemons with the apples? And they're not lemons, they're actually apples.
So it's like yellow and kind of wrinkly and like lemon-shaped?
They are lemon-sized, and okay. They're yellow. They're not wrinkly. Like they look, when I looked at, okay, like that's an apple. But like to have a yellow apple is weird.
Especially lemon yellow. That's like not just any
exactly,
yellow.
Yeah. Exactly. But maybe I'll have to get that tomorrow.
Cool.
Try them out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm intrigued. I wonder if it, well, is it called a lemon apple?
Or? Lemonade apple.
Okay. Yeah. You'll have to let me know. Cool. Sweet. Working in a grocery store, do they ever put you on shopping cart duty?
Yeah.
Roundup. Yeah. My dad worked in a grocery store, and that was his favorite part.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to be able to like walk around. I've worked at a bunch of different grocery stores, and the one I'm at currently doesn't have a parking lot, so it's a lot less like wrangling carts. But it can still get crazy when there's a rush in the lobby area. But it was fun to like go out. And when I worked at one with the parking lot, we also like had umbrellas, and we'd like help customers to the car. So that's also like I talked about when I'm sad, I just like to go out in public and just like exchange something with a stranger. But that's really what working at a grocery store allows me to have, especially the one that I work at. It like really encourages human to human connection. And so like any opportunity I have to just like help somebody out. I worked full time during the pandemic, and so that was really crazy. But one of my bosses like said something that I almost named the record the record was almost named It's Just Groceries, because she said that in like one of our morning meetings. She's like, guys, it's really like it's not that serious. I know it feels really overwhelming, but I just like, if you want to take a beat, take a breath, and remember that it's really just groceries and it's not that deep. That really changed my whole perspective. And so I also try to empower customers with that kind of attitude too. Like, hey, it's just groceries. Like, we're all just trying to have a good time here. We're all just trying to go on with our lives. And I like to try to make their experience as easy as I can with that mindset.
Trying to get that bread.
Exactly.
And other goods.
Other things.
Sweet, yeah. Here's one. It's not out yet, but it sounds like you put a lot of thought into the name. Also, good on you for remembering these little quote tidbits.
Yeah.
I feel like I'll catch one and be like, That's a memorable phrase, and then it's not all that memorable. But good on you for remembering them. How did you decide your track order on this upcoming?
Oh, that's a good question. I honestly didn't really put that much thought into it. I know, so some people, they like to have like the record arc and like tell a story. And I was really just thinking about, are any of the songs back to back in the same key? Like, I want it to sound different. Are they, I have like, so as an artist, I really consider myself a songwriter more than anything. And I don't know, that can be interpreted as like, whatever, like a little bit snotty. And that's not at all what I mean. I just mean that like, I don't have the like big picture mindset to like think about, oh, I want my sound to be this. Like, I want to be this genre. Like, I want to write songs that sound like this. If I have a song idea, I'm just going to write it. And I'm going to try to do like what's best by the lyrics to like make a song that sounds like it. So really my genre in this album is just songwriter. Like, I am inspired by like 90s. And obviously I like have a little bit of a sense of humor in my songs. So when I was thinking about that, my record's kind of all over the place. And so I was trying to make it a little bit seamless in that regard. Like, okay, we don't want to have like a super heavy song next to like a really mellow song unless it sonically will work together. But yeah, I was just trying to think of the flow, but there's honestly, there's not a recipe that I can say that I really used for it. It's just like, yeah, okay, this works.
Cool.
Yeah.
That works. Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way with some of my playlists. Sometimes it's a lot of thought. Sometimes it's like, let's not put the, you know, hardcore song next to the folk song.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. So I mean, that's most of it, really.
I make a playlist for Boston.
Yes, yes. I've gone to it for inspiration from time to time.
And that's the same thing. Like, I've thought about, like, maybe I'll do, like, a country week and maybe I'll do, like, a punk week. But I'm like, no, that's too much work. Like, I want to just put Boston's best in a playlist, and people go to the playlist knowing that like, I'm going to get everything on this playlist. And I'm also hoping to like inspire people to like maybe look outside their genre for like, I feel like when you ask somebody who's not really a musician their favorite genre, they have like the answer, and they're not always open to like listening to more. Like, usually the answer is like everything but country. And I think that country music deserves more respect, honestly. I think some of the best songwriting and like most difficult songs are country and pop. Like, I think that those are the two genres where it's really difficult to write a good song in. And so if people were more open to country and like listening to the lyrics, and like obviously there's like pickup trucks and drinking and, you know, there are those songs, but there are also songs that like really are incredible. So that's what I'm hoping to do with that playlist.
Which is a great mindset to have. And I think personally, I mean, I have my answer for what my favorite genre is, but like my second favorite genre is local.
That's my answer.
It's kind of like the meme of like, oh no, don't buy blah, blah, blah. We have blah, blah, blah at home. And then it's like the second rate, like, but really the blah, blah, blah at home is so good and sometimes better. It's like oh yeah, you want to see Mac DeMarco? No, don't do that. We have Mac DeMarco at home and it's blah blah blah. And like, tell all your friends like, oh, we have to go see this band because it's the closest that we can get. And sometimes it does sound better just because it is local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like for me, one of the reasons why I love local is because as somebody who was in high school and like going to shows, the idea of them being from Boston just made music a possibility for me to be able to like walk into a venue I've never been in, see this crowd of people that are there supporting somebody from the city. It just made it feel like so tangible. And that's why it's inspiring to me as a musician to like go to friends' shows. Now I'm friends with them, you know, but to see like local artists. But it's also like you could spend $300 to see Harry Styles, or you could go to a show a week for $300 and like support local and like also make friends. Like, I've met people at shows. And then, like, there is a crowd that goes to shows, and so you'll get to make friends. It's, like, a way to connect with your community, whether you're looking to connect with the artist or just, like, people who are fans of music.
Yeah, going to shows is, like, it's one of the best ways to meet people. And if you are a musician, if you're just really into music, one of the best ways to meet like-minded people.
Yeah.
Just go. Yeah. But yeah, that $300 Harry Styles ticket, or you could go to literally a show every single day for a full month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also like you're making a difference. Like I know Harry Styles does not care if I'm there or not. He does not care what I think about his album. He does not care if I wear his merch. But if I see somebody in my t-shirt in Boston, like as a musician, to know that is the coolest thing to be on that end. But it's also so cool to like be wearing a band shirt and like then see the band in public. And then like I know that I like made their day, you know. It's only happened once where I was shopping at Bow Market. And there was a girl wearing a shirt, and she was working there, a shirt of mine. And I was like, can I take a picture with you? It was the coolest thing ever. And, like, there are moments like that, like, I'm never going to forget that. And so that also kind of helps the community and, like, feel like you're actually a part of something.
Yeah. Yeah. And Boston's just big enough that there's a lot of bands, and it's just small enough that you can run into your favorite artist or just an artist that you like just out and about.
Yeah.
I'm here with Emmy McSwain. And Emmy, would you like to, what's your social media and do you have any upcoming events to promote?
Yeah. My social media is at Emmy McSwain on Instagram, TikTok. I'm trying to get better at posting there, but I post pretty regularly on Instagram. You can also find me on Spotify, EMI McSwain. I have a couple shows coming up. I have a song coming out on Friday that we're going to play later this hour. So it'll be the debut of the song, but it'll be everywhere on Friday. I also have a music video coming out on the same day with that. Playing a So Far Sound show on Saturday, but like the real big show, I booked three of my favorite local bands that are also going to be on the bill. We're playing at Deep Cuts February 20th, which is a Friday night. And if you haven't ever been to Deep Cuts, it's in Medford. It is one of my favorite venues. It's a newer venue. They have awesome pickles there. They sell like used vinyl and CDs there, and they also have a pinball arcade. So I promise you it's going to be a really fun night and like a great night for Boston music. Tickets are on sale now, and you can find that on my Instagram, or you can just Google deepcuts.rocks is their handle, or like their URL. Yeah.
Who else is on the bill?
Hey, I'm Outside. I think they're actually from Medford, too. So there's somebody I'm really excited to see. Tiberius. They were just on your show.
Yep. A few months ago.
Yeah. I've been a fan of them for the last few years, and I've always wanted to play a show with them. And so I'm really excited that I get to play this one with them. And then Puppy Problems. They're also on the bill.
Nice. Yeah. I've seen them once.
Yeah. It'll be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All great bands.
Yeah.
And with that, would you like to play us another one?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. Okay, yeah. This is going to be... So, I don't know if you've ever had a crush, Max.
Once or twice, yes, yeah.
But I wrote this song because I had a little bit of a crush on a guy, and he had a bunch of allergies. And I was like, if I ever, like... get to bring him lunch at work or like whatever, I want to make sure that I don't order something he's gonna die from. So I like kept an ongoing list of like all of his orders at all these places, so I knew I would be set. And so this is called Things You Like. I've got your burrito order written in a note in my phone, and I know you're preferences by heart. You don't believe in pepperoni, only cheese is on your pizza, and unfortunately for me that's just the start. Chocolate Jimmy's top your coffee ice cream, you like it in a cone, all you own are counties. You're the biggest Red Sox fan I know. You grew up in New Hampshire, but you call Boston your home. And I thought I had you figured out, but I guess you'll never know. She's a short brunette with big brown eyes. Your hand fits around her thigh. Can't write a song to save her life, and always leaves before the end of the night. She makes everyone uncomfortable and never laughs when I tell a joke, and she makes my teeth itch. But if that's your type, I'll add it to my list of things you like. You keep your kitchen counter spotless and do the dishes every night. You like to sleep until 11 and you favor the right side. You wear your shoes until they fall off and you love to ride your bike. You shower in the morning and Bruce Springsteen makes you cry. You're the guy who's friends with everyone, greeted by smiles on the street. And you're embarrassed by your doodles, but I think they're kind of sweet. You order cream cheese on your bagel with the dairy-free latte. And I'm really gonna miss all of our pavement coffee dates. I've been replaced by a short brunette with big brown eyes. Your hand fits around her thigh. Can't write a song before the end of the night. She makes everyone uncomfortable and never laughs when I tell a joke, and she makes my teeth itch. But if that's your type, I'll add it to my list of things you like. I'll add it to my list of things you like.
It's a cute song. And like a yeah.
Like, you know when you're just like shocked at when one of your friends starts dating someone, you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. And I actually, like, I got to be really good friends with the girlfriend, and we actually are friends, and neither one of us are friends with the guy anymore. So she's awesome. We ended up being really good friends, but yeah, the guy fell off the map a little bit.
Has she heard the song?
No.
So you guys have been friends.
Yeah. She doesn't know this is about her. She doesn't know the song, but I know she's going to like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, I'm sure that, I mean, either she's warmed up or your jokes have gotten better. Hopefully, at least. Do you have any good jokes?
Oh my God. Wow.
Not to put you on the spot. We can come back to it.
Yeah. Okay. So I had this music teacher she was a piano teacher. And in third grade, she like had this rule, like after every piano class, you would get like a piece of candy from the jar. And if you could ever make her laugh with a joke, she'd give you 10.
Wow.
And so as a third grader, that's big money. And so I always have this joke that I made her crack with, and it's honestly not that funny. But Max, how do you fix a broken jack-o'-lantern?
I don't know, Emmy. How do you fix a broken jack-o'-lantern?
With a pumpkin patch.
That's pretty silly.
I always got that one in my back pocket.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Pumpkin patch. Nice.
Yeah, that's yours now.
Yeah. Oh, I'll stick that in my brain. I've got a weird brain. I can't memorize like lyrics or lines, but jokes stick.
Really?
The punchline, I'll get the rest. I'll get there eventually. But I don't know. Memorizing it wouldn't work. I just have to remember it.
And it also makes you feel something, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like when I laugh, I'm like, oh, yeah. Especially if I make other people laugh, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm on fire. Like, I can't remember any other part of the conversation.
Yeah. Your announcement reel for this made me laugh. We can't say it on the air.
My big booty week.
Yeah.
That's like a phrase I use all the time. And I used it in the previous post without even realizing it. And I've done this bit before whenever I have like a bunch of things piled into 1 week. And that's the only Photoshop I use on my page is just to make my body look unreasonably large.
It's a good bit. It's a good bit. And we chatted way longer than I expected. Would you like to play another one?
Yeah.
Go right into it. Sweet.
Yeah. This is going to be the next single. So this is a little bit of a preview. And when the grocery store isn't open, we're allowed to listen to music and podcasts. And sometimes I'm a little bit burnt on music. So I find myself listening to hours of true crime podcasts, which is kind of like rotting my brain a little bit. But like after hour four of listening to people talk about people who were killed, it's like, okay, well, not all these people were great people. You know, like you hear the same way that people are remembered. And like, sure, don't speak ill about the dead, but definitely speak ill about me. When I'm gone, you do not need to lie about me to people. And so that's kind of what this song's about. Like, when I'm dead, I don't want you to feel like you owe me anything. You can talk real about me. Know that everyone has, like, free reign and that my spirit will be totally content. So, this is called I Hope When I Die. I hope when I die you still call me. Cause I spoke my mind and I took no. I hope when I die you don't forget and you tell me like it is. I hope when I die you sell all of my things and make a ton of money, then waste it. Every dime on whatever you please, spend your time alive again. I hope when I die, you move on quick. Anytime you owed, you already did. Cause when I was alive, I could give you mine too. I'd be dead and in debt, in love with you.
It's a nice long sustain.
Thank you.
Now, is that advice that you would take?
Like,
I don't know, like, how sentimental are you? Would you sell all their things? And
oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Like, if it was something that meant something to me as well, I would keep it. But, mm-hmm. like, I'm pretty much, like, I don't want a bunch of stuff that doesn't mean anything to me. And I probably wouldn't sell it to make money or, like, you know, it's, like, it depends on the circumstance, obviously. But, yeah, if I don't want to say anybody that I really care about if any of those people died. But yeah, I think that, I don't know, my grandfather passed recently, well, about a year ago, and he lives in Texas. So, like, anything that was his, we were like, well, like, we'd have to take it back in a suitcase. And I don't know, I feel like I'm somebody who cares a lot about my memories, and like I have voice memos of conversations, and like that to me is way more valuable than like anything that is in his home. And so I took like some things. I was like, well, I need some dishes, you know. Like I feel like I'm very reasonable, but yeah, I don't think like I really don't associate things with people, and I think that that helps me live in a tiny apartment in Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to be too materialistic when you're living with half a dozen other people.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Peace of mind.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I've always found myself to be rather sentimental about things. Mm. Which just makes it makes it more difficult. It really does. Yeah.
Like moving around a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
To think about like, well, in 3 years, I'm going to have to put all these in boxes, and then I'm going to have to wrap it, unwrap it, find a place in the new house. Like, I don't know. I think some people become more attached because they are like in a new place all the time. And like, there are things that like, I don't know, remind you of other people, or like when you're far away from family, I can see how it could easily be the other end of the spectrum. But for me, it's like, yeah, I don't need this, you know?
Yeah. If you could, make the soundtrack for any movie.
Wow.
Either one that already exists or just like a general premise of a movie. What would you want to make the soundtrack for?
Hmm. Well, I take a lot of inspiration from Randy Newman. I think that like anytime somebody asks me like, what genre are you? I'm like, well, I really love Randy Newman as an inspiration because he can write those tracks that like melt your heart. Then he also has Short People. Like, I just really love his sense of humor. And, like, so I really love the Toy Story track. I would not want to replace that. But I think if I had to write a track, it would probably be, like, a musical about a girl who's just, like, trying to figure stuff out. Because I feel like a lot of the songs would already carry over. And I would want... I'm a huge horror film fan, so... I could never probably write a soundtrack for that, even though it would probably be really cool to, like, make the eerie sound effects. But I would probably want to write something for a comedy, like, probably coming of age, like a girl who just, like, really wants to be type A but has a lot of type B tendencies and, like, does too much and not enough at the same time.
I think Boston should have... It doesn't. We don't have too much of an indie film.
Not really. Scene here. There's a 24-hour film fest or like 48-hour film fest that I don't know where they play now. But a couple years ago, I actually got to write the music for one of those films, and it was played at the Somerville Theater just down the street. So
very cool.
That was really cool. I had never done anything like that. I think I was honestly still in high school at that point. That was really cool, and I liked being able to like. It was all instrumental music because it was such a quick turnaround. But to be able to convey the emotion with piano playing was really cool. But yeah, I think that that could be a cool way for musicians to like work with videographers. But yeah, I don't really know what the scene is like on that end.
Yeah, because there's some really, I don't know, I feel like Boston, we need like a horror film because there are plenty of bands that would have like great... And, like, they wouldn't be popular for it now, but, like, 30 years from now, people will be like, oh, whoa, yeah. Yeah. That movie, but the soundtrack is crazy. Yeah. Like, I don't know. There's this Italian prog rock group called Goblin who made a soundtrack for, they just remade it, but a film called Suspiria.
Oh, which, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that soundtrack is awesome. And the movie is also pretty good.
Like, remade it, like in the last couple few years?
Like, yeah, last 4 or 5 years. It has, cool. What's her name? Mia Goth.
Cool. Yeah. I think I've seen, so, like, I really got into horror films over COVID. I was in an apartment by myself in the basement, and I would, like, listen at night next to the dumpster in my, like, outside of my room with headphones on. So I would, like, really try to spook myself. And I think the original Suspiria was, like, one that I could not get through.
Yeah.
And it's not because of the plot. It's honestly, like, so much random. Like, I don't even, the original doesn't even have a plot, but it was just so unsettling. And I was like, I don't like this vibe. But it was also probably because of the soundtrack, because I was, like, noise canceling. Mm. But yeah, that's it. I don't know if I've seen the new one. To check that out.
The original's better.
Yeah.
But they're both kind of like, oh no, they're both weird. It's a similar semblance of a plot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very psychedelic horror film. It's yeah. It's pretty, yeah, pretty trippy.
And wasn't it like revolutionary as like an all female cast? I think it like the females were playing male characters, and so it was like really the first of its kind to like really utilize women in the casting.
Cool.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Yeah. I watched that one a few years ago. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any favorites from your horror film watching?
Well, I mean, like.
No wrong. You can say the most mainstream horror film.
Yeah. I mean, I really liked Hereditary just because I had no idea what was coming. And usually I don't try to watch the trailer. If somebody recommends a horror film to me, I'm like, cool, watch it without knowing anything. Recently I just watched, well, I did the same thing with The Substance. I saw that at the Coolidge Corner Theater, and I had no idea what it was. I went by myself, just kind of on a whim. I was like, that's a pretty poster, like it's bright colors, it's like cool, and it's rated R and it's horror, I'm down. That movie, I watched it twice in one weekend, and it was just, it's not really like horror in the sense of like there are spirits, but it is like one of those like thrillers that you're just like kind of left speechless at the end of it. I was on a Reddit thread, and I was like trying to just find the most messed up movie I could find, and so I watched Dead Girl, which is a zombie movie, and I also watched that twice in one weekend. I watched it once by myself, and I was just shocked. And then I made my friend watch it, and then he was shocked. I was like, I just can't experience this alone. So if you like B, C, D movies, it's like really not remarkable, but it is just one of those films that you're like, how did 10 people agree to make this movie? Like, how did this cast, the director, and everyone think like, oh yeah, this is a good plot? Dead Girl, I recommend that.
Yeah. Honestly, so, like, they don't make bad movies like they make bad horror movies in other genres.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a special, and I don't know why that is. Is it maybe just a lower bar to entry? You can be scary and bad.
Exactly.
You can't be like really heartfelt and bad.
Yeah. Or like, I guess it also just takes a lot to scare people. So it's like, if you're not really scary, it's not going to hit. So I feel like that's also like comedy. You can have like something really dumb and I'll probably laugh at it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's harder to differentiate like good comedy versus like average comedy, but yeah, the horror, the bar for scaring people is really high.
Yeah, for sure. Well, on that, would you like to scare us with your next track?
yeah this is on the other side of the Randy Newman, so it's like this might be in like Disney movie or something. This is called Skies Are Blue. And I have a version out. It's kind of like a live studio version, but I did re-record it on this new record. And my mom's actually playing flute on it. So I'm really excited when the track drops. But it's kind of about, unfortunately, I've yet to date somebody who doesn't have problems. I'm a fixer.
Do they exist?
I guess so. That's a good question. But this is about like hoping that when I do find someone who's like ready to be in a relationship and is super cool and normal, that hopefully I'm not afraid of him. So I wrote this song as like preemptive, like, no, it'll be fine, Emmy. Like, you'll be fine. So it's called Skies Are Blue. I just don't know how to love someone whose skies are blue. It's
always so hard figuring out what to say. It doesn't get easier.
What are you thinking?
I was thinking. So in the other studio, which we were in up until a week ago, we're finally back in here. I'll show you the other one. It's like the size of a closet. But on the computer, we do have a soundboard, and it has like applause. It's like I really didn't know what to do. I wonder if this one has it. Does it? It does have sound effects. Yeah, we've got some applause.
Okay, perfect.
I can hear.
This is real, guys. People are clapping.
Yay.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Studio audience, wow. You shouldn't have.
That's so funny.
But yeah, another beautiful song. Thank you for playing it. And we are getting close to the top of the hour, so why don't you tell us your name and where people can find you and your release and upcoming gigs and all that good stuff.
Yeah. My name's Emmy McSwain. That's E-M-I McSwain. And you can find me online at Emmy McSwain is my handle on every service. I have a song coming out on Friday that we're going to play for you in a couple minutes. It's the first song off of my upcoming record. And there's a music video dropping the same day. I'm playing a SoFar sound show in Cambridge on Saturday, and there's going to be like a cute artisan market with like local vendors that you can shop in between sets. And then the big show that I'm playing with a band is going to be Friday, February 20th at Deep Cuts in Medford, and it's a Boston bill. It's three of my other favorite bands in Boston are going to be playing with me. So if you go to any of them, that one is going to be worth your money. I recommend that one. And I'm picking up t-shirts tomorrow that I had made from a guy in Salem. I'm really excited. So check out my social media. I'll be posting about that there. And then at any of these shows, you can buy those t-shirts too.
Fantastic. And because I'm the DJ for the next show too, I'm okay with us going over a little bit. Well, would you like to tell us anything about this your upcoming single before we play it?
Yeah. So this song's called Stay. And I feel like anybody who pursues a career in the arts has maybe had their own struggles in life, whether it's like in person or in mind. And so this song was really fitting for the first release. In April 2025, I was in a bike accident. I wasn't wearing a helmet. And it was kind of one of those things. I was not really in a great headspace or a great place in my life. And, like, you know, I wasn't being reckless just to be reckless. But I just didn't really, like, it was one of those things, like, well, whatever happens, happens. And then something did happen. And I think that, like, instantly, right after the accident, I was like, okay, recovery, like go, like now I have a problem that I need to fix. And so immediately after I was like, nope, we're just getting better. And then when I was like back on my feet, a little bit more mobile again, I kind of really got to do some reflection and realize, like, oh shoot, like I actually really need to do better by me. I broke, like I fractured my skull in a couple different places, and I broke a bone in my inner ear, and I wasn't able to hear out of my left ear for like months. And